Thank you for listening to The Spark. I'm your host, Asia Tab. With the 4th of July holiday near, state officials are urging drivers to be safe on the road. PennDOT's Fritzy Scheffler and Pennsylvania State Police Lieutenant Adam Reed joins us to remind us the awful realities of driving under the influence.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, so are there any tips for drivers to be safe on the road during that time?
So traditionally, 4th of July is one of the holidays where we see the largest number of impaired drivers on the roads, and our troopers make the highest number of DUI arrests. It's really only behind New Year's, Thanksgiving, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So our troopers make a lot of DUI arrests and unfortunately respond to a lot of crashes and DUI crashes during the 4th of July travel period. And if we have one takeaway, I would say it's just please don't get behind the wheel impaired.
Right. There's no excuse for getting behind the wheel impaired. And Adam obviously is speaking for the Pennsylvania State Police, but municipal officers are in the same position as well. It is a high number of crashes, and a lot of those are impaired drivers.
There's so many resources available so people don't get behind the wheel when they've been drinking. Could you give us a few examples of what people can do instead of getting behind the wheel?
Well, one of the first things that I always say is use that designated driver. And people think, oh, okay, you know, designated driver, but they don't think about it until they're out. You need to decide that before you go out. And if it's somebody who's with you, it needs to be the person who's had nothing to drink, not the person who's had the least amount to drink, because people will make those mistakes. Besides having that designated driver, if that's not an option, and if staying where you're at, you know, if you're at a friend's house and you can spend the night, that's great. But otherwise, you want to use some kind of ride sharing option, whether that's Uber or Lyft or, you know, whatever you might be able to use to get you to your place as safely as possible.
And there's so many consequences to drinking and driving. Could you go into detail about what those are and the cost of it?
Yeah, first and foremost, I mean, I think one of the biggest consequences, unfortunately, could be the ultimate consequence, and that could be you yourself getting killed or seriously injured or doing the same to another innocent motorist sharing the road mm-hmm. with you. In addition to that, the very serious, serious consequences, you could be looking at quite a few $1,000s of legal consequences as well. That might include fines, court costs, attorney fees, but a lot of people also might not take a second to think it also could cost you your driver's license. At the very least, you're going to be looking at a driver's license suspension, and that could cost you income, and really that could change the way you you operate there for the time being.
That's really interesting, because I don't believe many people think about those consequences other than going away in handcuffs. But then there's like another side to that. That's interesting.
Right. And one of the things to think about too is there's implied consent. And I think a lot of people don't think about that, that if an officer says to you, you know, we want to test you, whether it's doing breathalyzer or taking blood, and if you refuse, you don't have to wait to be convicted. That's going to be an automatic 1-year license suspension. And so think about going a year without a driver's license.
Wow.
And having to depend on somebody else to get you everywhere.
And are there any other misconceptions to a DUI that we may not have discussed?
Yeah, I mean, the consequences could be really severe. You know, several $1,000s in legal fees. If it's your first time offense, you might be looking at taking some very thorough classes, accelerated rehabilitative disposition, otherwise known as ARD. And then, of course, the consequences would get more severe from there if it's not your first offense, and they would just get more substantial from there.
And it can affect your job, too. You know, say you're a college student and you're studying to become a teacher or a certain, there's a whole list of professions out there that you'll not be able to get if you have a DUI. If you have you want to get a job where you're going to be driving for the job, you may not be able to get that job because you have a DUI on your record.
Wow, this is like a long-term effect. Will it, not that we're promoting DUIs or anything, mm-hmm. but is there a chance that it could fall off someone's record if they were to get one at like 18 or 20 years old?
I don't think it matters what the age is. It's whether or not it's your first time. And then you can do an ARD class, accelerated
rehabilitation disposition. Yeah, yep.
That. And you can then get it expunged from your record. But I don't know that it ever truly goes away for some things. I mean, here's a maybe a silly example, but if you want to go to Canada and come back, you can't. If you have a DUI, you can't cross the border and go into Canada.
Okay, so this has some major consequences.
I mean, that's an out there example, but it's the truth. You cannot, there are certain countries you can't go into if you've had a DUI.
Well, I'm really glad we're having this conversation. If you're listening, you're just now joining us, I'm being joined by Fritzy from PennDOT and Lieutenant Adam Reed with the Pennsylvania State Police Department talking about driving safe during the 4th of July holidays. So I also know that there are drivers under the ages of 21. Could you go into detail about the Pennsylvania's zero tolerance law?
Yeah, certainly. So one of the aspects of Pennsylvania's zero tolerance law could also be dealing with drug impairment. So in Pennsylvania, if you have any level of THC, which is one of the active parts of marijuana, you could be arrested for DUI as well. So that plays hand in hand with the zero tolerance law in Pennsylvania. You can't have any residual THC for marijuana or any traces of illegal drugs in your system while you're behind the wheel in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
But under the age of 21, I mean, obviously it's not legal for you to be drinking at all. So that brings on other penalties. And then you take that back a step, you're going to a party and you're under the age of 16 and you decide to drink. Now, obviously you're not going to get in a car and drive away. But if you're under the age of 16 and you are, you know, arrested for underage drinking and you get a license suspension, you don't start serving that until it's when you're 16 and you go to get your license. This is that much longer you have to wait to go get your license then.
Wow, this is such good information. And I think we just talked about that. So does it matter? This could be another misconception. Does it matter how much alcohol or THC is in your system, or is that just a misconception?
So when it comes to alcohol-related DUIs, there are tierings, basically tiered levels of the charges that you could get. Anything from lowest rate to highest rate. So obviously 0.08 is the 21 plus minimum threshold for to be arrested for DUI. And then it goes to 0.16. 0.16 and above is considered highest rate. So, but obviously it the different tiering systems could determine the potential consequences you face.
Yeah, the penalties, the jail time, different things. And whether it's your first offense or second offense or third offense, there's a lot of things that play into it that people don't think about.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I know that there's a lot that's done to warn drivers. Like, we're having this conversation today, but I also know that PennDOT, they have like these slogans.
The message boards.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So are you doing anything special this week? Have you guys been ramping up like the messages up there to remind drivers, even though you shouldn't have to, but just to remind drivers like not to indulge?
Yeah. So what you're going to see right now is drive sober or pull over. Kinds of messages that are out there right now. And it's interesting because a friend contacted me this week to ask about that, to say, is there something happened? Did you have a crash on the road? And I'm like, no, it's a general educational message that we're putting out there to remind people. And is it a lot at night? Yeah, it's a lot at night.
And Lieutenant Adam, do you ramp up security around the holiday season?
We do. Yeah, we're going to have an increased number of troopers out on the roads. You're probably going to see an increase in DUI checkpoints across Pennsylvania. So yes, absolutely. We'll have a larger number of troopers out there looking for impaired drivers.
Are those checkpoints the things that tell us in the GPS, like there's a state police person that's, you know how like Waze?
Yeah, so Waze, you're probably talking about, you can actually report a police officer running radar on Waze. So that's probably it. I've never heard of a DUI checkpoint coming up on Waze. DUI checkpoint is when they are stopping every vehicle coming through the area, speaking with the driver to see if he or she is impaired. They choose areas where we have seen an increased number mm-hmm. of impaired drivers, whether it's our troopers encountering them on a traffic stop, or we have seen a large number of DUI-related crashes. So that's where law enforcement is going to set a checkpoint up to look for impaired drivers.
And it's the same for the municipals as well.
Wow,
and we do roving patrols. If we don't necessarily have the manpower to do a checkpoint, we can also do roving patrols and say between these hours, we're going to be out there looking for impaired drivers.
Last month, Governor Josh Shapiro signed Senate Bill 37 into law, and basically it was the ban of use of handheld devices while driving. What's the pros and cons to that law?
I'm going to go with there's a lot of pros to that law. I mean, you think about your attention should really be on what's going on the road and not everything else. We know distracted driving is a problem. You're paying attention to all the signs outside your car, what other cars are doing, what the people are doing. Your kids are yelling in the back seat. And now you're going to add talking on the phone to it. And that means that you only have one hand on the wheel. So, I mean, I think it's a big thing to be able to now say I'm hands-free, because I announce it to people. If somebody calls me, I'll say, just so you know, I'm hands-free.
And I know there's going to be like a rollout to let people know that this law is taking place. So how is that going to go? I think you said it was like a year of warnings or so.
Yeah. So Governor Shapiro signed the law earlier this month, and there is a 1 year kind of a grace period that's built in. So starting in June of 2025, police will be able to pull motorists over as a primary violation for having a handheld device in their hand. However, for that first year, law enforcement will just be giving warnings out. So from June of 2025 until June of 2026, it is warnings only. No citations for having your phone in your hand. However, beginning in June 2026, you can receive a citation for having your phone in your hand. So June 2026 is when the citation portion of this legislation goes into effect, and that's when police are going to start giving out citations for it.
And it really is giving us 2 years of time for education so that in 2026, you can't say you didn't know about it. It also allows the state police and local police departments to, you know, change their policies for whatever it might be, come up with strategies for how they want to be looking for people who might be on their phones. You know, it used to be when you follow a car and they were kind of not staying in their lane, or maybe sitting there and the light is green, that you thought that automatically they were an impaired driver. And anymore, it's probably somebody on their phone who is not paying attention to what's going on around them.
There's just so many things on the phones that's like a distraction. The GPS, the talking on the phone, texting. Should cars that don't have that Bluetooth model, what should they do moving forward? Is there anything that they can do so they can adhere to this law?
I think that's going to be the challenge, because obviously we know not everybody drives a brand new car that has all these different kind of features or has Bluetooth capabilities on it. We were talking about this a little bit earlier, that if you get a holder for your phone that is, you know, kind of attached into your vents or whatever on your car, and you set the phone in that and use the speaker, that we believe that that is something that you can go ahead and do, because then you still have both hands on the wheel and you're still focusing on what's going on in front of you.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, especially when in doubt, even if you can't have access to that, and simply take care of your business on your phone before you leave.
Right.
You know, sit in your driveway alongside the road, text who you need to text, make a call if you need to, and then maybe put your phone on the glove box, put it in the center console, and get where you need to get safely.
Yeah, I've had people call me or send me a text and then they'll be like, oh, are you texting while you're driving? No, I've pulled over somewhere. I will have reporters who will call and want to, you know, talk about something. And I'm like, let me get off at the next exit and I'll call you back, or just stay with me for a couple of minutes because I want to be able to put my full focus on this call and not on driving right now.
You know, a lot of phones now, when they're connected to the Bluetooth in the car, my phone does this. Mm-hmm. It'll tell me, like, are you driving before I hit something? So that's a cool alert, too, that I'm sure other people can utilize. Do you know what went into creating this law?
Well,
the backstory to it?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's otherwise known as the Paul Miller Law.
Yes.
And he tragically was taken from us too soon. when he was involved in a crash with a distracted commercial motor vehicle driver, and it claimed his life. So his mother made it really her life's mission to get this legislation enacted, and she did some really great things and pushed really, really hard leading up to the day that the governor signed the legislation.
I think it's really sad that it takes a fatality to do something that just should be done to begin with, something that should be right, that people, you know, and then people say, well, the government shouldn't tell me what to do. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of times they have to tell you what to do because common sense can't be something you guarantee anymore.
Wow. And what other benefits will come from this law, do you think, drivers behind the wheel?
I would say, I mean, it's undoubtedly probably going to reduce the number of crashes and in turn fatalities probably on the roads, without a doubt. One of the other things about the law, kind of some of the provisions in it that would benefit the public to know, is there is a provision in there that says that if you are stopped in traffic temporarily, you still cannot have your phone in your hand. So that includes being stopped at a red light, being stopped at a stop sign. So that's important to convey as well.
Oh, yeah, really important.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people do that. You can sit at a traffic light or something and look around, and that's what everybody's, their heads down. So that's going to hopefully cut back on that. And people who don't have that option to not be handheld, hopefully will understand the importance of it and not try and circumvent the law.
I guess also they could, if they don't have that updated model, there's always speakerphone.
Right. That's exactly. Put the phone on speaker, set it down. You know, you see a lot of people, and I unfortunately see it in my own family, people who will have the phone sitting on their legs or, you know, sitting on the seat with them. And I'm like, just put it away. Just put it away.
Right. And how many distracted driving accidents do you see on a yearly basis?
Wow, it's a lot. You know, I don't have the statewide totals in front of me, unfortunately, but you know, certainly distracted driving is one of the leading causes of crashes that our troopers see. And you know, distracted driving, it doesn't have to necessarily involve a phone, but it could be, like we talked about earlier, you're turning around to talk to somebody in the back seat, or you're reaching down to grab your sandwich, or you're messing with the radio. Anything that takes your eyes and your brain really from doing that job at hand, and that job at hand is getting to your destination safely, that's going to be distracted driving.
And I think it's probably very underreported, because it used to be the same when people would ask us for stats on whether cell phones were involved in a crash. It wasn't something where an officer can just go, hand me your cell phone. I want to see, were you on the cell phone? Who's going to admit to being on their cell phone when they're pulled over? So if the officer has them on running a stop sign or speeding or, you know, unsafe lane changes or something like that, they're going to go with that first. So this now gives them another tool to be able to say, and hopefully we'll see better data coming out of this to determine how much of a problem it really is.
And when an accident happens due to distracted driving, do you ever find that the drivers are honest, that'll say like, oh, I was on my phone, or oh, I was passing out snacks, or oh, I was eating?
Unfortunately, not too often.
I think that's pretty rare.
I could probably count on both hands a number of times someone's been, you know, exceptionally forthcoming like that. But it's also important to remember, if you're involved in a very, very serious traffic incident with a fatality or very serious injury, now, law enforcement could have a search warrant, you know, served on your phone and your phone record. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it absolutely is something that the police would be able to find out if serious consequences are involved.
And it would be nice to say everybody's honest, but we know they aren't. I mean, how many times does an officer pull somebody over and says, how much have you had to drink? Well, what's the standard answer? Two beers.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not telling you that they had a really large one. Or do you know how fast you were going? Oh, officer, I wasn't speeding. Clearly, when you're going 25 miles an hour over the posted speed limit, you know it. But people aren't going to admit to it.
That's true. And is there anything that I missed on this topic of how it's, we talked about how it's going to benefit drivers, how this is going to be great. Is there anything that we missed on it?
This brings Pennsylvania in line with most of its neighboring states now. So New York, Maryland, Virginia all included in the list of states that you also can't have your phone in your hand. So I would say, in general, use common sense.
Yeah.
and do what it takes to get to where you're going safely.
Clearly, it's been done for your benefit.
We've been speaking with Lieutenant Adam Reed, Director of Communications Office for the Pennsylvania State Police, and Fritzy Scheffler, Safety Press Officer with District 8 PennDOT, about driving safely ahead of the 4th of July holiday. Coming up on The Spark after the break, we'll be speaking with Dr. Dick Litch Nelson, a professor from Franklin and Marshall College. Dr. Dick Litch Nelson is the founder and principal investigator of the FNM Barometers. We will also be speaking with Aaron Hallenbeck, who was also involved in the research. The Franklin and Marshall Global Barometer is comprised of the FNM Global Barometer of Gay Rights, the Global Barometer of Transgender Rights, and the Global Barometers of LGBTQI Plus Perception Index that's designed to measure state and societal level protection or persecution of SOGI minorities worldwide. Dr. Dick Litch Nelson will also share her research on LGBTI human rights and why this research was necessary. I'm Asia Tabb, and you're listening to The Spark.